Okay, we're on now.
We're on now. And
Yes.
A good Friday day to you.
Friday, the, what is it, 23rd? 21st.
21st.
Hey, it's only 2 months before the first day of summer.
You know, I was just thinking that. You know how we always want to look for something positive? Summer is coming, so we're not going to be complaining about the coolness anymore. We're going to be complaining about the heat.
The heat would be good because it's...
It would be that. Yeah,
it's damp and cold here in the Great Lakes Basin.
Yes. I think our high today is going to be 9.
Ooh, that's sweltering.
Break out the Bermuda shorts.
Will you be able to stand it?
I don't know. It's going to be tough, but I guess we'll have to try and face the music, as it were.
The music. Ah, the music. Well, the music is interesting these days from places like the Toronto International Airport, aka Pearson. Did you have any gold that was in shipping?
I once thought about buying gold, but it's one of those woulda, shoulda, coulda stories, and I don't want to bore our listeners with that. So, in a nutshell, no.
So, 3,600 pounds, which I'm not sure what that is in kilograms, is a lot of gold, apparently.
Yes, it is.
That has gone missing.
That's over a ton and a half, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, when they came out with the report day before, oh, yesterday, I guess, it said it was $100 million. Now, gold today is just over 2,000 bucks US per ounce. So the math can be done. But the latest I read about an hour ago was that it's only $20 million worth of gold because there's a whole bunch of other stuff that went along with it that is now missing. But it's very cagey stuff as to where it came from, where it was going. And this happened on Monday. This is Friday.
Well, you know, it's like we've talked about before. You know, if it was 200 million or 200 billion on Monday, it's probably 200 billion, but now they don't want to look bad, so it's only $3.49. Don't worry about it, folks.
It certainly sounds like, do you remember the movie, The Italian Job?
Yeah.
Okay. This sounds like The Italian Job. I mean, just the weight alone, because if you remember in the movie, they had to reinforce all the cars in order to, do the heist. So, because gold is heavy, right? So if it that's a lot of gold. I mean, what kind of vehicle? You just can't throw in the back of your Honda Civic.
No. I will say, though, once on one of our trips, we stopped down at the Mint in Winnipeg, where they do actually have a little 2 pound, 2 kilogram, whatever it is, ingot that's chained with security guys all around it that you can actually lift up and hoist. So that's the closest I've ever come to gold, but it was amazing just how much that little ingot weighed. It was just it astounded me. So yeah, we're talking about big amounts of stuff here. You're right, I have no idea what kind of vehicles would be in there.
It's yet another black eye for Canada's number one airport. I mean, it's been getting terrible reviews for the last couple of years now for everything from lousy service to baggage that's lost to staff shortages, flights canceled, no one get, I mean, they've really had a rough go at that airport, you know, and that used to be a fairly, innocuous place in terms of international travel. Yeah. I mean, no, Toronto Airport, or Pearson as it's called, its reputation was never what it seems to be now. Of course, it's compounded by the fact that people really get annoyed with the things that have happened post-COVID. They kind of put up with it during the COVID times, but now they're saying this is a long over and you're still getting lousy service. and so on, and lost luggage, and the list just goes on.
Well, yeah, and it, as you say, it's a black eye for that particular airport, but it's another black eye for the country. I mean, gosh, we're sitting here looking at a project that apparently everybody wanted, although they didn't ask me. I don't, did they ask you about that Volkswagen battery plant in St. Thomas? Apparently, everybody wanted it, but how can you go and give $13 billion to a company that's making $26 billion profit? And then, coupled with that, we have our infamous leader telling us that we're never going to meet our NATO commitment of 2%. Like,
Yeah, well, that does on the issue of this subsidy to a German multi-billion-dollar corporation. Things I'd like to say I can't, because YouTube will then, block our broadcast. So we'll just say not good things would be said by me about that deal. The other one maybe is the same too here. Here, we're part of the NATO alliance, and we don't even pull our load.
yeah.
I thought, and again, can't get too verbose about it, because again, YouTube will pull our broadcast for today if you say too much. You can hear it on Rumble, but we're not going to do it twice. So.
No, but I guess what leads me into this is that we used to be a country that was well regarded. I won't say top of the line, but we were well regarded, and we seem to be coming now to be more of a has been a joke. I don't know what it is, but it's interesting that maybe it's a pendulum thing. Maybe in a couple of days we'll be back on the upswing. Who knows?
Well, we've been on the downswing for a couple of years, so a couple of days is, you're being really optimistic here.
Just trying to be positive, you know.
I think, this is not supposed to be the Canadian edition this week of, let's rag on how things are in Canada, but we've had not a lot of good news on the economic front, certainly not on the political front. And the what when we have institutions that are just not respected anymore
Yeah.
by the population at large. I mean, for folks outside of Canada, we have a broadcaster called the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, which gets $1.3 billion in subsidies. It was paid for by the taxpayer. And it becomes a giant discussion in this country of 36 million, or whatever how many we got, because Twitter has decided to suggest that the CBC actually gets paid by the government. And that just gets people completely crazy about, well, yeah, but they also compete in the marketplace. Yeah, 3% of the population or so actually watches this broadcaster. I mean, it could not possibly survive it. It had to do like the private broadcasters in the country would be, gone. They give themselves raises willy-nilly, like how, and pat each other on the back, and then lose their minds because someone has decided, well, maybe you guys aren't actually doing what you're supposed to do, and you've actually become kind of an anachronism. And so
Well,
that's part of the bad news thing that we just get foisted upon, on almost a weekly basis. Our own federal government leadership seems to go from scandal to scandal, that in any other era, going backwards in time, they would have been tossed out on their ear, but they just seem to have Teflon sprayed all over them politically, because, there's the hardcore, the nub of the cult that is cult is perhaps too strong, but the point being, there's just, you got a group of people who are involved that represent, something like 29, 30% of the electorate, just completely involved in proven unethical behavior in and so on, and nothing happens. And so people on the street, you say, why are we so down? Well, you know, you're down because there's no good news ever coming out of this crowd. You know, taxes are up, cost of living is up, and then they have the audacity, as you say, to give away $13 billion to a global car company to build batteries. And we never even talk about, well, whose bright idea was this? And then you can just see them back in Berlin at, or Wolfsburg, I guess, is where Volkswagen's headquarters. They must be laughing their behinds off, going, those fools, you know, we got them over a barrel. I mean, even the US, which is 10 times our population, said, no, this is too rich for our blood. And we're not going to give Volkswagen this kind of money. And when they were doing this discussion with the other folks in their neighborhood in Europe, the most they got up to was $7 billion. And they all told them to go pound salt. But our gang decided, oh, 13, psh, no big deal.
Well, yeah. But anyway, that's enough of this kind of stuff. What's going on in the world of border issues from today? I'm looking at Border Hawk News and Border Reports. It doesn't seem to be any better there either, but... And border officials record 25% jump in migrant crossings in March. Train loads of migrants arriving at U.S.-Mexico border every day. Goodness, it's a lot of people seem to be on the move.
Well, a lot of people are on the move because there's no reason for them not to be worried about going wherever they want to go. Certainly from the push factor is always there, economy, war, what have you, but the pull factor has no resistance whatsoever. Certainly at the southern border, North America is basically open to anybody who can get here. So let's not beat around the bush. There is no, the immigration refugee policy of the two major countries that attract migrants and refugees is no policy. Okay. If your feet can touch the ground, you're in. All right. That's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
And now the question that from our perspective as an organization, that's always sort of had a non-aligned approach to these questions. Much like our earlier discussion, like, I don't know anymore. Like, what are we talking about? How do you manage a community, whether it's local, regional, or national, that has no guardrails when it comes to the influx of new arrivals? How does that community continually have to be able to absorb the numbers, whether it's in the absolute impact at schools, at hospitals, at jobs? Like, how do you do that? And yeah, leadership, both in Washington and Ottawa, is completely and utterly devoid of any, you know, serious policy making when it comes to how do you look at, you know, I'll give them, they don't want to have borders. Okay, fine. There's no borders. But what do you do with the humanity, especially the minors? We're talking about hundreds of thousands of minors. What are you doing with them? Like, how are you dealing with them with respect to their education, respect to their, because if they're here now, clearly never going to go back to where they came from, because you let the genie out of the bottle. But these genies have to be somehow educated and be given an opportunity to flourish going forward. And nobody ever talks about that.
Yeah.
It's just all this virtue signaling about how good I feel about what I've done, even though I never asked you if you wanted this to be done in the first place. Okay. So even if we were to say, okay, this is where we are, this is where we're at. There are all these people are here, and now we have to deal with, but no one talks about that. You know, it's right up there with the climate stuff about the batteries we talked about earlier. You never talk about how do the batteries get made? Where does the stuff from the batteries actually come from? How do we get rid of the batteries once they pass their useful yeah. stage? So there is a what I see is a same nonsense is permeating the mind, the decision making of these mugs about, well, don't worry about details. Details aren't important. It's that, the emotion of the thing is more important. We're doing this to a great job of saving the planet by digging enormous holes in the earth, various places, using child labor to dig the holes, because we're going to be all driving, cars. And it's the same with the immigration policy. No one actually says, what are you going to do in Canada's case, with over 1 million people a year you're bringing in here? Like, what are they going to be doing? How are they going to do it? Where are they going to be doing what they're doing? And what is your plan for having a cohesive community that every, people have to be able to like each other on this thing, and they're not. And it's very clear that there's these cultural silos that they're building, because what they continually do is try to play one group off against another with various, speeches that the leadership makes. And it's something that is very clearly driven by a core of people who, may have the best intentions. I'm not going to question their intention,
Yeah.
okay? But I will question their intellectual capability of actually making this thing work, because the intentions are emotion based. While the results, there's no specific sort of tools like in their toolbox. I love it. They always have a toolbox how they do stuff, or a dashboard that they're running. I have not seen the dashboard, and I don't understand the tools that they're using to make this work strategically, because it
Oh, there's,
basically isn't.
and it's not like there isn't issues with the people here already. I mean, we've got whole housing issues out here, where the local provincial government railroaded a legislation bit through, so that a development could be started, organized, to house people who don't have homes. It's not even crown land, it's private land. So, is this what it's going to become, where the governments will have to take draconian measures to do things? And are we seeing that already? I don't know. And if
Well,
it starts with that, then what do you do with the policies like immigration or border control or Coast Guard? I mean, you name it. I'd hate to see what's going to go down that road.
it's clearly a policy of day-to-day kind of patching things. I mean, there is no policy. What's because no, the policy basically is run by folks who are probably good at things that have nothing to do with the job that they're in. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of boxes being checked off at the government level, at the political level, by people who meet a set of criteria that are lovely for Netflix movies, that we have wide representation of everybody in this movie, even though it's a movie. But in real life, I don't know why you've got people other than for optics in jobs that they have no business being in. And I'm not going to pick on anybody now, in either in a Canadian or the US senior leadership. I mean, the viewers, readers, listeners can pick their own favorite knucklehead that's in one of these jobs. But collectively, these mugs are really causing a serious problem of the people having any sort of confidence in what they're doing. And I think that's really, the malaise of our times, is that we've kind of lost respect for or what the leadership based on their ability to get
Ineffectiveness.
Well, we're not doing a study here on efficiency and effect. What we're talking about here is, nobody likes these people. If you ever have a conversation with your neighbor about, but the folks who are in charge at the municipal or federal or local or provincial or state level, nobody likes them. Everybody, there's a lot of animosity, which sometimes is more emotionally based than reality. And I'll grant you that. But frankly, if you ask your neighbor, are you better off today than you were 5 years ago? He's going, what are you, crazy? Unless he won the lottery. Do you feel better about your kid's future or your family's future going forward than you did 5 years ago? And the same, I think, get the same response. No. Very, so and we seem to be in a I guess kind of a daze collectively as a society, because we're there's an awful lot of Kool-Aid that's been
Mixed up.
mixed up. There's a I think I sent you the thing about this there's a woman in the US who has a podcast and a broadcast out of Missouri. Her name is Beth Ann, and she sends me material every so often that clearly is questioning much the same things that we do. And while I don't agree with everything she says, she brought up a email a couple of days ago where she brought up the just say no saying. If you and I'll just remind you about the just say no saying that was brought up during the Reagan era in the States about drugs. You remember? You had Mrs. Reagan, First Lady, was going on about how to stop the drug issue. And so this Beth Ann that sends a list of just say no's to various things. And admittedly, this is from the US, but I just go over some of them, and it's very interesting because it does give you food for thought. So she says about teachers' unions and education issues. She says we should just say no to school board members who abuse and use our children as woke experiments. She says just say no to Hollywood maniacs that can't keep their families and marriages together and are out of rehab but think they know what's best for ordinary Americans. Just say no to the transgender story. People who are mentally ill need help, not our approval. Just say no to the phrase biological male, the only kind of male there is. And then she says what it looks like, and I agree. The absurdities are nearly laughable, but they are wrecking society, families, and communities. Just say no to insane politics because it means that it's screwing up families and communities. And what else is like? There's lots of just say no's. Just say no to out of control government spending, aka the Volkswagen thing. And she says, since it's just paper and I suppose it does grow on trees, this green thing and stop printing money. Why are we doing this till it becomes worthless? Just say no and speak up. You have free speech while you still have it. Speak up. So anyway, the just say no is interesting for me, not because of the previous business back in the 80s with the drugs, but maybe it is time to say, let's stop the craziness for a while. Let's go back and find people who actually know what devil they're talking about. And do you remember there used to be the big silent majority? I think we've gone 180 back to that issue where we have a silent majority that been sitting there afraid to speak up to say, no, we're done with this stuff. Okay. Now you see little bits and pieces of just say no happening where some folks have been tossed off of school boards or certain really outlandish things are starting to be questioned. Look, I don't care if you're a drag queen. There's a great place for drag queens and cabarets, but not in great in kindergartens. There's just some things that don't make sense to me, so I just say no to that. So I think the just say no concept, while it's one dimensional in its response, maybe the majority of people who so far have been afraid to just say no because it'd be called something by people on the far right or the far left are opening up their yaps, you know, it's time to maybe speak up and just, yeah, I'm not interested.
I guess, and you're right, coupled with that, I saw a couple of days ago, I guess, that there are an awful lot of young female athletes that are standing up and, I guess, what you're saying, just say no to the fact that you can have transgendered males in. And they're all coming up saying, is it becoming an unlevel playing field? Can I really compete against this individual? Should they be able to compete against me? I don't know. It's an issue, I guess, that they'll have to resolve themselves within their own sports and the like, but maybe they are looking at that and saying, no, it's time now to say no.
Or even to expand the just say no to just give me some more information here without, mm-hmm. you know, true. Branding things out like this. Because that, I think, is part of the problem that, you know, that the people have been basically bamboozled to some extent, but also they have literally been extorted in a way by interests. And look, Disney's learned its lesson. Anheuser-Busch has learned its lesson. But, you know, I think that those cracks are beginning to appear because at some point, you know, human nature, like we've talked about many times, takes over. And you go, okay, now we've listened to this. Or, you know, it's like old rock and roll. I've heard this song 7,000 times. It used to be number one. I'm done with it. Okay. It's a golden oldie. Put it away. So, you know, perhaps we're getting to the point where some of the stuff that is getting on people's nerves in that slice of society called the silent majority, they're going, okay, we're done. Now let's move on. And you know, there's only so much negativeness that society can take before I think it starts to recoil and say, okay, time to move forward now. Time to put the kiddie toys away and let's let the adults start doing things.
Well, that, yeah. And let's look at sensibilities instead of tick boxes. And let's look at common sense as opposed to willy-nilly. Yeah.
It's the extremism of the minority on various issues. For example, on the electric car thing, I don't care if you want to buy an electric car. Okay, and I don't care if there's a movement to electric cars that is driven by the forces that can actually maintain that movement. In other words, if electric cars become a viable alternative to internal combustion engine cars, it will happen. Okay, the reason horses went out of style is because the internal combustion engine came into style. Okay, for all the, you know, if everybody wants to take that as an example, if the ICE becomes out of style because the EVs are in style for the very reason the horses went out of style, if I can use that analogy, great, no problem, you know, but some bureaucrat and some politician and a bunch of corporate guys getting together saying, we can do this and we're going to save the world. First, we turn it into a religion. If you don't do it, you are, you know, you're anti-climate and all this stuff. And then we're going to make a whole lot of money on you and you're going to buy a $75,000 car you can't afford, which means you probably won't have one anyway. But we're going to be okay because, you know, and there's never the details of how we're going to do this. We just avoid this like the plague. Much like going back to our original discussion about the immigration, all these people show up and what we do, but well, we're not going to tell you that because we don't really know. And they're not going to talk about it either.
Yeah. And then we wonder why people get upset and, you know, why, you look at Border Hawk and the issues of, well, so-and-so was stabbed by an illegal immigrant or the illegal immigrant was arrested for whatever it was. Well, you know, all they're trying to do is make a living and they can't do things legally, I guess, in some cases. So all they're doing is just trying to have the standard of living that they think that They
They're
should be
entitled
let.
to, but they're entitled. You mean entitled to? Look, without going back to the Canadian edition here, the public service is on strike in this country because one of the things that it's apparently wanting to do is have a cottage industry bureaucracy. Everybody's going to work from home like they're making quilts or making candlesticks or something. This is not how you run a country.
No, and I think that ties a little bit into too our associate Michael with his internet identity project and company.
Which we'll hopefully have on next week.
I'm thinking if he has something up his sleeve that would make the security aspects of working from home a 100% guarantee, then maybe we can do that kind of stuff. But I'm still old-fashioned enough to wonder about security. And well, I work at home. I last 3 years, and I do 400 papers a day, and I look at the. But how are those papers getting to you? What are the fallacies? Like, I don't know if it's common knowledge, but Western Digital just over the last couple of weeks had a massive data breach that they're not saying much about. But I know my home cloud that I had was offline for almost 2 weeks, and it's just now coming out that individuals or hacker corporations or whatever it was has gained a lot of data. And I don't know what it is. Is it my bank card? Is it my address? Is it, I don't know. But if it happens like that to a large corporation who supposedly is in the business of security, what does that do for the governments that have their people that want to stay at home and look at, potentially worse aspects of names and dates of birth and medical records and gosh, you name it. How are they going to protect that by having people work at home? I don't know. That's my concern, but.
Well, we've not heard of any breaches, but maybe that's why we haven't heard any breaches because that would undermine immediately this whole work from home concept by bureaucrats. I mean, you can't tell me my private information isn't being stored at someone's in someone's house in their basement. That's and hey, that's a story for another day, and maybe that's
It
something I
is.
can bring up with Michael when we have him on board.
I guess it kind of reminds me of living on the West Coast here, the fact that we're on an earthquake zone and we're overdue for the major earthquake. So it's not a matter of if the earthquake comes, it's a matter of when the earthquake comes.
Course.
And that kind of equates right into this whole thing from work at home. It's not a matter of if the data is going to get stolen or misappropriated or misused, is it's when it's is it going to happen. And you're right, they don't want to bring this up. I don't think that it would bode well with any, government organization or private organization to admit to that. So
I
yeah,
don't,
be interesting to see
that's a
Mike's.
very good point. I don't think that the federal government has ever really approached the subject of if there's a national emergency, how do you corral all your bureaucrats to focus on the national emergency when they're all over hell's half acres? That's a very interesting question, Bob. And I don't think anybody has actually broached that subject.
No, well, and I put that out as a challenge to our listeners and to our viewers. What are your comments? What are your
Yeah,
thoughts on that matter?
that is a good one. The other good one, by the way, as we near the we got 2 minutes left, I think, is the Ukraine Russia crisis. This past week has been silent on what's going on there, which suggests to me that there's something going on which we're not aware of to the extent that maybe this is actually going to be winding down, or they're looking for ways to get out of it, which is what I hope. Because it's curiously silent news from both sides. they've all kind of hunkered down, and it's all this talk about, well, there'll be the spring what the heck do they call it, turnaround from either side. And I think they're running out of juice here. And when I look at the issue of people questioning where the heck is all this money and equipment going for the Ukrainians, yet they're not winning and the other ones aren't either. So it's clearly stalemate, but you can't do stalemate forever. So I think there's something of brewing. Maybe we'll have something to talk about next week on that. Anyway, we're down to less than a minute. So,
well, it's been a good little chat. Again, kind of all over the map and all over the place,
yeah,
looking at this
but
and
you
looking at
brought
that.
up a really good point at the end here, and I like that. Food for thought for next week.
Absolutely.
All right, Bob.
Billy de Mignon.
Yes. All right, we'll see you.
Take care.
Bye.